This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Everybody wants to have a home sweet home, and the main thing is that most of us who have a house, okay, who make it into a home, most of us do it thinking that, okay, you just basically get a home, you have a family inside there, everything's going to be home sweet home. Well, that's not always according to the people. Or let's just say that's not always according to those who occupy the heavens. There are angels above there. There's another way they look at the homes down here. And there's homes here. The way we look at our homes is very different. Our way of seeing a nice, good home is that we want to see decoration inside the house, we want to have nice sofas, we want to have nice lights, we want to have nice decor and so on. Do you know that in a hadith, and it's a hadith with a good chain, the angels from the heaven, when they look down on the earth, imagine this, the angels from the heavens are now looking down on the earth. They're looking at planet earth. They see the houses in which the Qur'an is being recited, those houses are lit up. They're shining with light. And the houses that have got no recitation of the Qur'an in them, they are not alight. So you could have all the decorations you want. You could have all... Everything okay? Yeah. You could have all the decorations you want. You could have all the sofas and the people and the laughter and everything else, and everyone's happy inside. But you know what? Your house is not recognized as the house that's lit up from the heavens. Because there's no Quran recitation inside there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he said, do not turn your houses into graveyards. They said, how, Messenger of Allah? He said, leave some portion of your salah. He is talking to the sahaba who came to the masjid, who do the fard salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, leave some of your portion of your salah, make sure you do some of that portion of your salah inside your homes, to make sure that it doesn't turn into a graveyard. So what is a graveyard? We don't see a graveyard when you go in the houses. The people of the people who know the truth, and those who have been given the true knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, they know that it turns into a grave because there's no amal, there's no actions inside there. The main thing is to have actions inside there. Now, I'm going to start off very briefly with from the moment we get married. Because from the moment we get married till the moment we actually go to the grave, I'm going to capture this part of our life, because in there the children will also come inside as well. From the moment we get married till the moment we actually go into the graves, there's something called barakah. Barakah. Now we know, amra banglaihon borkoton borkot. Right? Barakah. Barakah in Arabic, barakot in Bengali. What is that barakah? Barakah is something Allah puts inside something. Something which I can't do, something which you can't do. So let me give you an example. Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Allah says all the dealings of usury and interest and riba that you've got, you think that your wealth is increasing to me, فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. This does not increase in the sight of Allah. What does that mean? The man had 100,000 pounds. He put it in the bank. The interest rate is 3%. So he's going to get now 3,000 pounds. From that 100,000 pounds, he put there 3,000 pounds extra. Now he keeps it in there. The interest rate goes up to, let's say, 5%. Okay? He's going to get more return on this. Every year he keeps the money in there. There's more and more money accumulating inside in his bank account. To him, Now, after a few years, it's now £125,000. He just left it there. He just left it in the bank. The interest rate automatically gives him money every single year. So he's thinking, I'm now £25,000 in the plus. Allah says, that 25,000 is no plus. In fact, your 100,000 is also in the minus now, because you dealt with riba, you dealt with interest. Allah says, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاتٍ. The zakat that you give, so 2.5% of my wealth. A man has got £100,000. And now he's got £100,000 just sitting there. Now at the end of the year, he has to give 2.5%, which is £2,500 he has to give the zakat. Next year comes, the money is still sitting there. He has to give 2.5% of that as well. So he's given almost another 2,500, less than that, but almost another £2,500 out. Every year he has to give that zakat money out. By another 4 or 5 years, he's given like £10,000 away. Now his capital is £90,000 there. So this man is seeing that I have got £10,000 less. Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. Allah says, not only am I going to increase your capital because you gave zakah, I'm going to increase you. I'm going to put barakah in you, فَأُولَٰئِك, all of you. The man gave zakat, Allah says, barakah in your wife, barakah in you, barakah in your children, barakah in your household, barakah in all of you. I'm going to put barakah in there. Now how does it work? How it works is very strange. Me and you can't calculate that. The man who dealt with riba, with usury, with interest, he's got £125,000 sitting in there. But Allah says, فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنَّ اللَّهِ. There's no barakah there. This is nothing's going to increase there. You know what happens? What happens is, one way or another, that money doesn't seem to be enough. So let me give you an example. Sometimes Allah gives you some money, and honestly, if Allah puts barakah inside it, you can see how well that money lasts you. So example, Allah gives you a simple salary. There are certain members here in this community, Allah has given you barakah in your household. You have, at the end of the month, you have like £1,500 coming into your house. If you did a proper calculation, you need like £2,000 to run this house. You don't even know how Allah just makes all the bills get paid. You don't know how Allah makes things last, because you know the milk that you bring inside the house, that milk, subhanAllah, for a person who has got barakah in his house, the milk lasts 2 days longer than a person who has got no barakah in the house. Your shoes that you're wearing, Allah will make it last. You wear it for 5 years, 10 years, your shoes are lasting. Whereas a person who doesn't have barakah, 1 year, 2 years, shoes are gone. Your machine that you've got, the different machines you've got inside the house, the actual car you've got, Allah puts barakah inside it, it's going to last longer. You don't even know how. Your household repairs only happens now and again. Whereas the person who's got no barakah, there are a lot of repairs that need to be done there. Your own family members are happy with the little that they have, alhamdulillah, that is barakah. The man who has no barakah in his house, they want to go on holiday here, they want holiday there, they want a wedding comes. For example, wedding comes. If you really follow the system of barakah, you're going to make a wedding very simple. You're going to make a wedding. And I'm telling this from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the walima that you do that has got the most a'zamuha barakatan, the most barakah, the most blessings from Allah in it, is aysaruha mu'natan, is the one that you spend the least amount of money and you get the walima done. Maybe you didn't hear what I said. Because when it comes to our weddings, it's like, hey, our weddings, they're going to be the biggest hall you can find. Right? We want all the chairs decorated. We want the full shebang. Want everything inside there. From the moment people come inside, the starters, this starter, this drink, that drink, walk inside, they're going to have the, you know, every chair is decorated with £3, £4. Every chair, the cloth they put on the chair, was a niqab fin laysoin. You know, the cloth they put on the chair and they cover it, you're paying for that. £3, £4 on that, the table, you pay. Then the items that are coming on there, you're paying for every single item that is coming on the table. You're paying for all of that. In the end, how much? £10,000, £20,000, £30,000, £40,000, £50,000 gone on one single walima. The worst thing about this is, you know, we pray that Allah makes the wedding last, say, I mean. The worst is after you spend £50,000, what happens if these couple don't even get on? £50,000 blown just like that. Barakah is there when Allah puts barakah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have aysaruha mu'natan, the least expenditure that you have to spend. To get the walima done, you get it done. Now some of you are going to say, yalla, nabe jyotizum. You know, the Bengali culture is based on one single phrase. And this one single phrase makes us do all the things we do. This one single phrase makes us buy 100 pounds of mishti. This one phrase makes us do that. What is that? Manche kita huibo. What will people say? That's the Bengali phrase that everyone is scared of. The one thing that you have to keep there. Manche kita huibo. Because manche kita huibo, what will people say? We go out of our way to do all of this. We're going to have the full decor. We're going to have full of that. We're going to basically make them all come to the wedding. There's so many different cultural things that you have to do. Why do they do it? Manche kita huibo. We're going to give milk to the groom before he leaves the house. Why? Manche kita huibo. We're going to make him wear shoes like Aladdin. Why? Manche kita huibo. We're going to make her sit in her clothing all day. She's very uncomfortable. She can't even walk. She's got high heels. If she walks like how she's supposed to do, she's going to trip over. But we're going to do all that. Manche kita huibo. We're going to dress her in red. We're going to put all mendi all over the mendi over her face. We're going to have not only one function. We're going to have 3-4 functions. We're going to have sinifan. Why? Manche kita huibu. If we don't have it, they're going to call us stingy. We're going to make them have the guy the sinifan. We're going to make them have the mendi. Mendi now, mendi was for the women. Now mendi for the men as well. Manche kita huibu. Yeah? People are going to say, we didn't do it. So people are going to look down on us. Just on this manche kita huibu. What will people say? We do all of this. We're spending hundreds. We're spending thousands of pounds. Why? Manche kita huibu. We're going to the groom's house, we're going to send this gift, that gift. We're going to come on the day of the wedding, we're going to bring a limousine, we're going to bring all sorts of things. Why? Manchek dahu. We're going to make him come with the limousine inside the hall for another few thousand, but manchek dahu. So what? Let's try and have a competition on who can beat who. We're going to have the mahad. Mahad needs to be simple. No, mahad we're going to put on the paper £50,000. We're going to actually pay maybe £5,000. We're going to put 50,000. Why? Mind shaking the haibo. Furire kilam na disi. How did we give our dua? It's all based on mind. I'm not hoka kita. Kita hoka. Say with me. How was it? Mind shaking. Say with me. Mind shaking with me. I'm not going to hoka. Go ahead. Sharam hore. Everyone after three. 1, 2, 3. Mind shaking the haibo. A whole Bengali culture is based on this. Mind shaking the haibo. Where is Allah kita haibo? Nobiye kita hoiba, what will Allah say? What will the Prophet say? What does the Quran say? What does the Hadith say? Manche kita hoiba. Baftada sondosini hoiya isi. Khorbu. Oh, my whole generation, everyone's done like that. We're going to do it like this. We have the actual marriage that's done. Okay, after the marriage and all the customs we have. Every single custom is based upon, again, mind check it out, what will people say? So now, you've had the wedding. Okay, you've had the wedding. You come inside the house. What is the major thing of this home sweet home based upon? It's based upon Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we've got salah here, we've got salah inside the house. Nur and light is spreading inside the house. If you've got Quran recitation, then there is, like I said to you, nur, light is spreading for those in the heavens are seeing us with nur and light. The whole house should be based on Allah and His Messenger. Now, sinful things. For example, if you've got the TV on all day, if you've got these smartphones and these other, you know, tablets and whatnot on all day, and you're watching this and you're watching that and watching halal, haram, everything together. And the thing is, you are now bringing sin to the house. When you bring sin to the house, you bring shaitan to the house. This is not me saying it, my friend. This is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our whole sharia is based upon doing things to keep the shaitan out. You say bismillah when you enter the house. Shaitan can't come inside with you. We say bismillah when we come inside the house. We say bismillah when we open the door.
We say Bismillah when we close. We say Bismillah when it comes to. We say Bismillah when it comes to, even just putting the lid of a pot on top of the pot. We say Bismillah. Why? Shaitan can put his hand in the night. This is all in hadith. Shaitan can put his hand. A jinn can put his hand in the night and take something out and put his, you know, put his influence in there. We say Bismillah when we come inside the house. Not only we say Bismillah when we go out. We do everything on the name of Allah, not just for barakah. Most of our houses are for what? Decoration of Ayatul Kursi in there for protection. My friend, the main protection from all these jinns and from the devil and from the shaitan is myself, my a'mal. So, I need to keep myself clean. I need to keep myself clean. All times, 24 hours. Certain Muslim brothers, we see them at weddings. We say, or even when they're working or something, we say, brother, are you going to come and pray with us? He said, I can't work. Why can't you work? I'm not pure to pray. Bro, what do you mean you're not pure to pray? Your reason why now you're not pure to pray is because you don't clean yourself properly after you go to the toilet. You can't do, if you're doing that, if you're not pure to pray, what about if Malakul Maut came? What about if Angel of Death came? What would happen to you? You're not pure. You want to die in that state? You want to wake up on the Day of Judgment in that state? No, we Muslims, we keep ourselves clean at all times. No matter where we are. Now, one thing is clean. Next thing is my Quran reading. Next thing is my recitation. Next thing is myself coming close to Allah. How? Every day I need to have certain things in my life where I'm going to come close to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's where the barakah comes inside the house. You want plenty of barakah? You want angels coming inside the house? You have to have good actions inside the house. You want to automatically call the devil to the house? You start doing sin. You start committing sins. For every person who commits sin inside the house, there are devils coming in. For every person who's doing good actions inside the house, there are angels coming in. Now there's a conflict between angels, there's a conflict between the person. The conflict between the angels, conflict with the shayateen and the devils on one side, there's a big conflict. If you want to make it home sweet home, if you want to make that, the whole family need to put up the amal. Now, the next thing comes is this. We have to give da'wah to one another. We as family members, we have to give da'wah. We have to call one another to the deen. Don't stop talking to your family members about the religion. A lot of people think that da'wah or something is for us. Is your mic actually working? Or I don't know what's happening. If I hit it, then... If I hit it, it starts working. Yeah. The da'wah needs to happen inside the house. What does that mean? My brother is not praying inside my house. My sister is not wearing her hijab or praying in my house. I have a duty to call them to the deen. If I don't call them to the deen, I am responsible on the Day of Judgment. Allah will ask me a question, why did you pray but you never called your sister or your brother to pray? Now I know some family members, your brother and sister are not going to pray when you call them. You have to carry on giving them da'wah. Give them da'wah in different ways. We've all got family members that are inside the house, or maybe alhamdulillah, inside your house, maybe they're all praying, but you've got relatives. You have to give them da'wah. You have to call them, invite them. Whichever way you can, at least give them a quick invitation with something. Find a hadith you can talk to them about. Find something you can take to them about. It's okay. It's all people are here, right?
My voice is okay. Yeah, you guys can hear me, yeah? From the back as well, yeah? MashaAllah, tadbir, brother. So we have to find out, we have to try and bring them together in any way we can, because look, if I stop giving da'wah, then the adab of Allah will come on me first. The punishment of Allah will come on me first. Now, as long as you give him the da'wah, as long as I'm inviting him, now and again, every time I'm reminding him, look, brother, you know, we should pray. He might say to me, look, I'll pray later. Okay, fine, thanks, you know. Or you know, fine, but I have to give my da'wah to my brother, to my sister, to my mother, to my father, to my sibling, whatever. I have to kind of give him da'wah. That way, I'm still with the angels that are with me. Because in a hadith, it says, when Allah sent the punishment to a nation, the angel said, oh Allah, how can we punish that nation when there's a man inside there who is a very, very pious man, he's a righteous man, he's always praying. Allah said, take my punishment to him first. Him first, then the rest. Why? Because he's just praying. He's just doing his thing, but he's not someone who's calling his people to come to me. Dawah is something. Calling, inviting others to the religion of Allah is our our thing. Now, I'm going to say another thing. In our communities, what happens, sometimes you have an argument with your brother, sometimes an argument with your sister, sometimes you have an argument with your relative, with the blood connection, the blood tie. You can never, ever break your blood ties, no matter how bad the argument is. We have this in our Bengali families, but we have more of it. Please forgive me for saying this. In this regard, because I bashed the Bengalis a little bit earlier, we have more in the Pakistani families. Sometimes these relatives or the blood relatives, they don't speak to each other for 5 years. 5 years, 10 years, and they actually are proud. I don't talk to him. He upset me 10 years ago. I'm still not talking. They have a record. I'm not talking for 5 years. I've done it 10 years. Will you guys now see me as the Don? The main guy. You know, you have to give me credit for not talking to him for 10 years. 5 years. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hadith of Bukhari says, if a person does not, if a person breaks ties with his blood relation, then Allah Azza wa Jal will send the fastest punishment that comes from the heaven to the earth is on the person who has broken his blood ties and is doing nothing to amend it. Now if your brother is not talking to you, your sister is not talking to you, you have to still go out your way to talk to them. You have to say salam to them. They're ignoring you, you say salam to them. They're breaking ties with you, you make it with them. This is where you're showing Allah, I'm on your side. I'm on the Messenger of Allah's side. I'm doing my absolute best.
You guys got new something.
Yeah, I'm gonna save my voice box as well as my headphones. Yeah. Done? Mm-hmm. You guys need to have emergency batteries as well, yeah? But anyway, if you don't have them, we have the headphones. Listen to me, man.
Oh,
it's for the what?
Is it working now? MashaAllah. No, I don't need to shout for you guys. Okay, so now, da'wah has to be given. I need to invite them. Blood ties shouldn't be broken. And I'm saying this very clearly. Why? Because we will always have arguments with one another now and again. You have to resolve that. You have to be man enough, woman enough to resolve that. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how bad your sister's been. Doesn't matter how bad your brother's been. Doesn't matter how bad they've been. You have to amend that. Barakah will come and blessings of Allah will come. Angels will be there if you follow the Sharia. So salah is done in this house. Quran is being prayed in this house. Sin has to be eliminated from the house. My friends, look over family members and try your best to remove sin from the house. Why? Sin attracts zulumat. It attracts darkness. Sin attracts problems. Sin attracts family members hating one another. It's in the Quran. In the Quran. You look in Surah Ma'idah, Allah Azza wa Jal has said, when you deal with khamar, when you deal with intoxicants, when you deal with gambling, when you deal with this, Allah says that the shaitan now has found his way through to you. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ Allah said, due to the fact that you are dealing with sin, you are now you are selling alcohol, or you are committing the sin of drinking alcohol, you are gambling. If you're doing those sins, Allah says, now the shaitan has found his way to you, and this is what he's gonna do to you. Allah says in the Quran, He's gonna make you hate one another. He's going to make you enemies with one another, because now what is Allah saying? Allah saying, I'm going to move the barakah. I'm going to move the angels. I'm not going to have frequent angels come to your house. Shayateen are going to be inside your house. They're going to have a field inside your house. وَيَسُدَّكُمْ And shaitan will now be able to stop you and prevent you and from prayer and from dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Shaitan will stop you. Why? Allah is saying, I don't want to do anything with you. And I'm going to allow the shayateen to get to you. Now, you've got to understand, if you now stop the sins, then once you stop the sins, you are now calling the angels again. Now you're inviting the barakah inside. Now you have Allah on your side again. And then everything's going to reverse. So in the house, sin and sinful things have to be removed for the extra angels and the barakah and the blessings coming from Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Now, in the house, we need to increase our a'mal, our actions, not only for ourselves, but increase it with the children, increase it with your siblings, increase it with others. Once you do that, you will see one thing. You will see that year in, year out, Allah Azza wa Jal will put a barakah in many different things of yours. Now I'm telling you from, I've spoken to people, I know who are practicing, I have observed houses and homes that are practicing, and I've observed homes that are not practicing. What will happen is Allah will give you barakah in your monies. Your financial assets, Allah will put barakah. Once Allah puts barakah in there, subhanallah, you will see. Small little amounts of money will last. Little amounts of money will last. Allah will put barakah in your travels. Allah will put barakah and blessings in your time. Allah will put barakah in your lives. Allah will put barakah in the things that He's given you. Whatever Allah's given, He's going to put barakah inside them. Allah's going to make sure that your children, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, they don't go through as many trials as others go through those trials. Allah's going to make all that happen. Why? Because your people who are, now, don't get me wrong, people who practice Islam, they also have problems. But what Allah does is, Allah's going to do a massive thing. And this thing I've seen, which is, Allah Azza wa Jal will remove the stress and distress from the lives of your house. Biggest problem we have got, the biggest health problem we've got in the West right now is stress, distress, which turns into depression. A lot of teenagers, a lot of adults, a lot of people are stressed out. Stressed out for what? The problem they've got inside their head, they can't move it from their head. They keep on thinking about it, Yalla marshumone kita khollo yalla marshumone kundin biaditam biakhoraitam kundin talage boyaktam. Every day the same thing. Oh my God, this has happened. Oh my God, that place that we've got, that land we've got in Bangladesh, what happened to that? Oh my God, so and so says. This stress can be eliminated. How? It is that you first do all your salah, you do your Quran recitation. On top of that, you need to do send salawat in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any household, any person got stress, the cure to that is abundant salawat, salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again and again and again and again and again. What happens is this. You send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. You send it a second time. You send it a third time. There are millions of people across the world that are sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each time they're sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Dawud, Allah reunites his soul with his body, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the reply to that person who sends salam to him. You send salam to him, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sending salam back to you. And when he's sending salam back to you, Allah is sending you 10 mercies from the heavens. Angels are coming with 10 mercies onto you 10 mercies. You say, sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. You sent it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam right now sends salam back to you, and Allah poured down on you 10 mercies right now. Now you send again and again and again and again. You send it 10 times, 100 times, and so on. Yes, there are people across the world who are sending it daily like 100 times. So Prophet ﷺ has been sending salam back. Okay, fine. You send it the 500th time. You send it the 1,000th time. You send it the 2,000th time. Now the Prophet ﷺ is wondering why this particular person of my ummah is sending me salawat the 1,000th. Why are they sending me 2,000 times? Why is it today they send me so many times? Yesterday the same thing, the day before that, the same thing. So now automatically, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not us making this happen. This is an automatic thing that happens in the other world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then now thinks, why is it that this ummati of mine, this person who's following my followers, he's sending me so much salawat? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in sending the salam, he also in the ghaib, in the unseen, he will make his request to Allah for your problem to be resolved. Automatic. Because he feels the pain. The Quran says, Ra'ufur Rahim. Harisun alaykum. Right? The one who is very, you know, who wants the best for us. The one who feels ma'anittum, something that's burdening you, it distresses him too. So when you send salawat on the Prophet again and again and again and again like that, you will find that, look, Rasulullah is making that request to Allah. And same time, look, you send it the thousandth time. What's 10 times 1,000? Come on, guys. Everybody's now failed their maths. What's 10 times 1,000? 10,000. Somebody like, if I get this wrong, oh my God, it's going to go on Facebook right now. 10,000. Do you realize the time you send, the moment you send 1,000th time salawat to the Prophet, you just got 10,000 rahmah, mercy on you. When that 10,000 rahmah comes on you, your stress is going to be sitting in the midst of just rahmah and mercy and mercy and mercy and mercy of Allah. That mercy is going to compound your stress. It's going to start eating it up. You will feel tranquil inside. Any person who's got stress, distress, I've given this to, if they've continuously sent salawat on the Prophet ﷺ, they felt calm. Your problem might still be there, but you're going to feel calm. You're going to be able to deal with it better. That's how we believers lead our lives. You do your salah, you do your Quran, you do your dhikr, you listen to Allah, you obey Allah, you remove sins from yourself, you remove sins from the house, you give da'wah to your brothers and sisters inside the house, to your mother and father, others who are not practicing Islam, you give them da'wah. You don't go towards blood, you know, breaking blood ties, you don't have the sinful nature inside your house. You don't deal with haram, you don't deal with sinful transactions. You try your best to follow Islam, and then you find the angels more and more. Less shayateen, less devils inside your house. A lot of barakah and blessing comes inside your house and into yourselves, into the items. Remember I said to you, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. I will make you grow. I will put barakah inside you. Now, next thing is, we have a child that comes inside the house. When a child comes inside the house from this couple, the thing to do is what? We start the first thing with adhan. Why do you start first thing with adhan? The Islam said you start the first thing with what? Come on, guys, what? What did I say? With? Guys, say it loudly. With? With a welcome party? Say again. What did I say first thing you do? Adhan with balloons that are blue and pink. Huh? What do they call that thing? What do they call it? You know, before the baby is born, they have this thing about balloon. Baby? La hawla wala. Baby shower. Baby shower. Is it going to be boy? Is it going to be girl? Is it going to be boy? Is it going to be girl? We have baby shower right now. Everybody come be happy. My God, I don't understand this. You still got 3 months to go. She hasn't delivered yet. She hasn't delivered. We know for a case that, you know, there's a small percentage of babies that don't even get born. You're now celebrating the coming of your baby. What's your baby's name? Jesus or something? You're celebrating the baby before he's even born. I don't even understand that. I don't understand. It's like saying, look, imagine this. Imagine we did this. Well, honestly, I would love people to do this. Yeah. 3 months before the GCSE exam results are given. They're given on the August the 20-something, right? 3 months before that. Before you sit your exams. Come on, show me your dad's son, right? In May, when you haven't even sat for the exams, please have a celebration of you passing your exams. Come on, let's do it. I'll be there, inshallah. I'll have the food, I'll go away. Tomorrow, I won't care what happens. How do you celebrate your exams? There's A-level exams coming out in August. Do you celebrate your exam before you sat your exams? Or let's say you just sat your papers and then you're going to have a celebration after that? No way. You wait till the results come out. You wait till you open the envelope. You wait till you see it and then you celebrate. If you're going to celebrate. You don't know the results yet. I don't understand how people do that. So anyway, baby shower, blue balloon and pink balloon and river's happy. Understand, you just added another burden for no reason. Anyway, go. You have your baby. The first thing we start with, adhan. Once you, and I know most people know this. Most people see this, okay? You give the adhan, the baby is calm straight away. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every baby that's born, the shaitan touches it. Every baby that's born, shaitan touches it. Except, once the adhan is given, then now the shaitan's influence is not going to go away. That's why that baby calms down. It's right in front of us. Okay, you've gone through all the aqiqah, you've done all of that, right? The baby is young now. What should the baby be listening to? Baby should be listening to and should be surrounded with Islam. Yes, now, I'm not here to talk about how to raise a child. I think one of my other bayans in this tour is to do with how to raise children. What I'm going to get to is this. Most of us get happy too early with our babies. Our children, the baby is now a toddler. The toddler becomes 4 years old. When we stand for salah, have you seen our four-year-old comes right next to it, digga, 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 or two-year-old, digga, 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 puts the hat on little wonky, right? Stands in front of us, Allahu Akbar, looks at us. When we go to ruku, they go to ruku. When we go to sujood, they go to, yalla amar tuma erfu. Yalla, go to beshta gyarsa. My child is so beloved to me, my child's already gone to heaven or paradise with me, yeah? We get so excited, especially when a child wears the topiyas, child sits down on musalla, a child does this, Allahumma, Allah, a child reads the surah, Qul huwallahu ahad with us, a child reads the surah Fatiha, we get super excited. My friend, you're making a big mistake. The mistake is this. If you sat with a four-year-old next to you and you basically took some ganja in your mouth, you give a chance to that baby to do exactly the same thing, he'll do exactly the same thing. You sit there in your house and you start, do all that, you see your baby doing dungu. The baby is only copying. You gotta understand this. The baby, Allah has made babies. He's put something inside babies. They just want to copy the people around them. They want to copy their elders. That's all he's doing. You do anything. You jump up and down like a monkey. He'll jump up and down like a monkey. You sit there silently all day. The baby will slowly sit there as well like you. Your hand movements, your mouth movements, everything baby wants to copy. This is not the time to get excited. Yes, alhamdulillah. Say alhamdulillah, your child is praying. Yes, when he's 7, he's praying. Don't get excited yet. When he's 10, he's doing his... Yes, you send it to the maktab, to the mother's masjid. He's like, okay, I've heard all of this. The real deal starts when they're at the age of 11, 12. The real deal starts at the age of 11, 12. And unfortunately, most of us have got masjids and maktabs where we send our children from the age of 5, 4, 6 or something, we send masjid, and when they're 11, 12, they finish reading the Quran, and then we have another big party. Dawat. We get behind the Mawlana, Imam Sahib, Mesab Zi, Zuldi Quran Shurikun Din Shash Orto. What day is he going to finish the Quran? And they have a race to try and get to the end of the Quran. By the time they're 11 or 12, they finish the Quran. You call everyone in the masjid, everyone comes, the Quran khatam is done, you know everyone's happy, you know who's the most happiest on that day? It's the kid that finished the Quran, you know why? Because he's saying bye-bye to everyone. He's not coming tomorrow. He's going to put the Quran on his shelf inside the home, and now he's at the age of 11 or 12 or 13, and guess what? This is the moment when you needed the child to practice Islam the most. And we make him leave the masjid. Is this true or not? Come on guys, true or not? This is the problem. The system that we should have is, don't make it, I'm telling all the parents here, don't tell your children when you finish Quran, this is the objective of the Quran, then no. I want my child, and I'm going to ask the educators of this masjid to say, look, make tajweed the main thing. Let them learn how to do tajweed. Let them finish the Quran only when, let me tell you how it should be done. When they're reading with tajweed, they've done 5 juz with you, give them 2 sabaks. Give them 2 different places to read. One place they read to the teacher inside the masjid, another place they read at home. And tell them, encourage the student to do his own tilawa, her own tilawa, and finish the Quran at home. We have seen, like these students have finished the entire Quran, they don't make a big deal out of it. They finish the Quran every single year. We have competition every single summer for them to finish one Quran. We have competition Ramadan for them to finish Quran. If you start in Sha'ban, if they do half a juz from Sha'ban, all the way to Ramadan, if a Qari'an is doing that, by the end of Ramadan, they finish the Qur'an. Our students are 13, 14, 15, they finish multiple Qur'ans. Not a single student where we are in our academy has ever said in 25 years, I finished the Qur'an, I need to leave the masjid. It's how you put your mentality in your community, in yourselves. Never come behind the imam to make your child just finish the Qur'an reading, no. Because then your child will leave. The objective should be your child should stay till 15, 16 years old. They need this. They need, when they're teenagers, that's when they really need the deen. Most of our kids go off the deen at the age of 12, 13, 14, 15. That's when they needed Islam the most. That's when they needed the masjid the most. And we made a system that they're going to leave the Quran. Now I'm going to ask you to reverse all of this. Make them come to the masjid. In fact, when they're 9, 10, 11, bring them with you to the masjid. Make it a habit. Make sure they do salah with you in jama'ah in the house if you're not going to come to the masjid. Make sure it's built inside them. Make sure you ask in mahabbat and tilawah inside the house, even though they left the masjid. Even though it's a day when they're not going to go to the masjid, ask them, have you done your portion of the Quran? Ask them this. When you're on the deen like this, okay, now your kids are growing up. The deen needs to be what? First, the deen, the religion needs to be in me as an adult. I need to be practicing Islam to the best I can. And then my children will follow me, because the children will just follow whatever the parents are doing. They will follow, good or bad, they will follow. Anyway, after this, what is the next barakah? The next thing is, my friend, when the children are growing up, if your children have grown up, as they're aging, each age has a new challenge. The smartphone, there's a challenge to try and get the children to control how many hours they play. The PlayStation 5, the Xbox. Have you got rules inside your house to limit the time they are spending on these things? Okay, they are for entertainment. Entertainment stays for entertainment. We have to remind one another inside the house, we are not here in this dunya for entertainment. Because the next home sweet home is my grave, your grave. That's the real home sweet home after this. I'm here for maximum, I'm here for 60, 70 years. Maximum. Even that's if Allah gives me the time to stay till 60, 70. My time is limited, your time is limited. I've already told my children in my house, this is not my house. I've told my own children, I look, you know what I do in my house? I want you to do this. Look at the four walls of your house and say, this I'm leaving for my children, this is not mine. Just say in your mind, this is not mine. Wallahi, I'm telling you this is the best way to live. All the things you own in this life, don't look at it as it's mine. The moment you look at it as mine, the house, the land that you own, the assets you have, the bank balance you have, never look at it as your own. In fact, you should already have written your wasiyah, your will. I've got my will already written. It's written. The things that need to be done as soon as I die, I've written it, it's already there. I've entrusted certain people already. As soon as I die, just take that, and it's in a book. I said, this is the where the book is. Go on, enforce it. I'm ready. We're all going to be ready. Any moment I can go, any moment you can go. And where are we going? Look, you're not staying here. You can buy the best leather sofas. You can buy the best carpet for your house. Every time I buy something for my house, I say, okay, that's for the next generation. That's for them. Okay, I'll use it for a little bit. I always look at it like this. Any car that you have, okay. One day, you know, I'll go to the graveyard and my car will go to the scrapyard. We're both going, you know what I'm saying? We're both out. Light's going to be out for him, light's going to be out for me. It's the truth. I need to make my next home, build my next home. What's my next home? It's the grave. My grave when I get there. I don't want to be telling people, look, it's the hadith of Bukhari. When the body is being washed, hadith of Bukhari, when the body is being washed, when the body is being carried by people, it will either say one of two things. Either it will say, asri'u, asri'u, quickly, quickly, take me, come on, stop wasting time. I want to go to my home. I want to go to my final abode. I want to go to my grave. Either the body is saying this, we're saying it, but the people next to us can't hear it. The soul is speaking. No one who's washing the body can hear it. But he's speaking. On the second one is, the person says, what are you doing? Hey guys, where are you taking me? Hey, where are you leaving me? Huh? No, don't leave me. Don't take me there alone. I don't want to go there. day saying that. I don't want to be that second person who says that. Every one of us is going to that home. If there's one person who's not going to the grave, put your hands up right now. Absolutely we're going there. It's 100% gone. Now, what have I prepared for the grave? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he said, three things will follow you to the grave. Your family will follow you to the grave. Your monies and assets will follow you to the grave. And your a'mal and your actions, whatever you did in your life, in your house, outside your house, in your whole life, will follow you to the grave. يَرْجِعُ مِنْهُ اثْنَانِ Two of them will return. Your families will bury you, they will return back. Your assets will go to your grave. You're still the owner of it, then they come back. All your assets, all my assets, every single thing I had, every item I had in this world, all of it is distributed to all my heirs, all the people who have. So they're gone. The only thing that stays with me is my a'mal. That's now the new home sweet home. That's it. I've now got to my grave. Now what do I face in my grave? I face in my grave what the Prophet ﷺ said. Either it's going to be Rawda, min Riyadil Jannah. It's going to be one of the best places I've ever been to. Paradise on earth. Basically, look, I can't get into the full thing of this, where the soul goes and so on. There's a whole talk of mine on the internet, if you want to see it, and it has helped a lot of people who've had people passing away in their households. It's called Six Lives of the Soul. Six Lives of the Soul. You can just YouTube it and you'll find it. The soul goes to Illiyin or Sijin. The body stays inside the grave. But it feels, it has a connection with the soul. And it feels what's inside. Whatever is happening to the soul over there, it feels it inside the grave. Anyway, long story short, I've left my home behind me. See, everything we did, my whole house, assets, everything left behind me. Where am I going? Allah says, وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْضًا Every single person will come alone to Allah on the Day of Judgment. Now when I come to Allah on the Day of Judgment, I have no home. I have no home. The grave was a temporary home. When I come to Allah on the Day of Judgment, now all my a'mal, everything I've done faces me. There's no returning back. There's nothing I can do about this. Now I want you to think about this. The moment you go into the grave, my friend, which is, we're all going to the grave, yes or no? Come on, say yes or no. Come on, guys. One big shout, yes or no? Yes, okay, as soon as you go in the grave, there's no Wi-Fi. There's no Wi-Fi password there, bro. You don't get inside your grave and say, what's the Wi-Fi password? Please, can I have the Wi-Fi password? Now people do that when they go to a house. They do that, they go to any place. What's the Wi-Fi? Quick, Wi-Fi password. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no lights. There's no electricity. There's no PlayStation 5 down there. There's no Xbox down there. There's no smartphone down there. The world can have their iPhone 20 by the time you've died. They can have the iPhone 21, iPhone 22, whatever. There's no iPhone down there. There's no Samsung down there. There's no device down there. There's nothing down there. There's not even any politics down there. There's no BNP down there. Huh? There's no Awami League down there. Asta zibon mair khollai morlai otal lagi. Nothing. There's no, Labour down there. There's no Conservative down there. There's no government down there. There's no one down there. There's no kings down there. There's no beggars down there. Nothing. There's no parties down there. There's no friends down there. You know all these friends you've got? Every single friend. I want you to think about all your friends right now. All of them above the earth while you're alone in the grave. None of them come with me. There's no mother in there. There's no father in there. There's no child in there. Everything you're doing right now. You know this is what the sad thing is this. There's a really happy thing I'm going to tell you, and there's a really sad thing I'm going to tell you. Let me start off with the sad thing. The sad thing is the man, he killed himself. As in, he worked his socks off to try and feed his family, to give the best education to his sons and daughters, to have the best house he can on this earth. He worked two jobs. He worked round the clock. He put sweat with sweat. He didn't have time for a bath. He didn't have time to go to the toilet. He did all of that for his whole life. He died. His family rejoiced with everything he left behind. And he himself goes to a grave where he's facing punishment. Because he hasn't prepared for his next life. Tell me this, guys. Tell me this. What is the point? I want you to wake up right now. What is the point of you or me working round the clock for my family? We need to do it. We need to work for them, yes. Don't say we don't need to. And we need to work for them. But not round the clock. We need to feed our families, yes, but we don't need to overdo it. We need to provide for them. We need to provide for them a place on this earth, good, and a house and comfort and everything, yes. But don't go over the thing where I'm not preparing for my home sweet home grave, and I'm preparing everything for them home sweet home on the earth. Because the moment I die, I'm going to go to my grave. That's the sad thing. The happy thing is this. The man worked. The man provided for his family. The man did average. The man also, he did his best for the akhirah. He did his ibadah. He did his worship. He did his few things for Allah. Okay, he followed the Sharia. He fed his family as well. He made a home as well. Here, soon as he dies, he goes to a better home. Soon as he dies, he goes to a much better home. May Allah Azza wa Jal make this true for every one of us. Ameen. What I'm going to do right now is, I'm going to ask everyone, please. I need to actually, you know, go to another place with the hosts that are here, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. We'll end the bayan here. I know your Isha is going to be at, I think, 4:15. So I'm going to leave early with your permission, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. Whatever I've said, may Allah Azza wa Jal give you the tawfiq to implement it. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Whatever, you know, I've shared with you, may Allah Azza wa Jal take it to our homes. Very quick summary is, please, to be barakah, a'mal, actions, salah, Quran, dhikr, following Allah, following the Sharia, remove sins, give dawah to every one of the family members. Don't break blood ties. Keep the blood ties. Keep calling people to the deen. Make your world here. Enjoy this world. Earn your monies. But home here, home sweet home in the grave as well. Always think what have I sent for my real home over there. Once I've gone, no one's going to be with me. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to go to Allah. And then the final home is what? Final home is either it's going to be hellfire or it's going to be Jannah. That's the final home. We want to all get to Jannah. May Allah make that for us. But don't forget, if I don't get to Jannah myself first, and if I can't secure my Jannah, nobody else can secure my Jannah for me. Don't think you're going to make a hafiz of the Quran in your house and he's going to take me to Jannah. A lot of people have this in their mind. That ami hafiz go banaimu o gamar beshto loye tumaro hafiz go foila beshto janne ho ka. You're going to make a hafiz of the Quran, he's going to take me to heaven, take me to paradise. Is your hafiz of the Quran going to paradise first, you tell me? Because we've got no guarantee if the hafiz is going to go first. If he goes, then fine, Allah will give him 10 tickets. And if he has 10 tickets, who knows if he's going to give you one or not? He might have beef with you. You don't know. You don't know. He might give it to all his Nakinosha, all his you know, Habigushi, everyone. He's going to got 10 tickets. He gives one to his wife. One to these children. Oh, he loves his grandchild. Oh, he's got too many grandchildren. He gave you all. And you there, you say, hey, where's mine? Guarantee your own spot in Jannah. Your own spot. Don't rely on anyone. Don't rely on anyone to do Quran Khatam after you die. These are small tips. Tips. Quran Khatam is a tip. Quran Khatam is like a few pennies to your grave. A few pounds to your grave of hasanat, of good reward. The main amal I'm going to do is my life, in my life. How much Quran Khatam they're going to do for you? How many days they're going to do Quran Khatam for you? A lot of our communities like, oh, when I die, have a big Quran khatma, this. These are pennies for the akhirah. You have a life of 60 years. 60 years to the amal. You think in 60 minutes people are going to make more for you than your 60 years? I need to guarantee my own place. Forget Quran khatam, forget anyone else. I need to do my own guarantee of my own paradise. Once I've got that, once I feel that good, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Then others can give Quran khatams, they can do this, they can do that, fine. But I need to guarantee my own spot. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq, ameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. So if I can say salam to everyone from here, please, and then I'm going to leave, inshallah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.